God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, we read, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God," and by the way, friends, we are living in the last days, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Hi, this is Pastor Larry at Southwest Radio Church. Acts chapter 2 is a marvelous chapter. It tells about the beginning of the worldwide missionary outreach of the early church. It also speaks about the end times. Quote, "And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Our guest today is one of my favorite messianic rabbis. His name is Kurt Schneider. Rabbi Schneider has a new book on dreams. I'm sure after you hear the interviews today and the one tomorrow, you will want your own copy of his book. Our guest today is Rabbi Kurt Schneider. Rabbi Schneider is the host of the international television broadcast Discovering the Jewish Jesus. He's a delightful guest. I've interviewed him on two of his other books. On the show today, and for the next show, we're going to be talking about his new book, The Mystery of Dreams, A Teaching and Journaling Experience. Rabbi Schneider, it's a blessing to have you on the show once again.
Well, God bless you, my brother. It's great to be back, Pastor Larry. I remember the time we spent together by way of interview some months back and just appreciated your spirit and the work that you're doing sincerely. So thank you, and good to be with you and your audience today.
Well, you know, Rabbi Schneider, when I do programs with you and, of course, some of the other brothers and sisters, I'm just reminded of the fact that there's so much ugliness in the world, but the light of the gospel is still shining everywhere, and I'm so excited about that.
Praise God. That is very true. And the darkness, as you said, it's getting thicker, it's getting deeper, it's growing at such a quick speed that I think if we realized how fast the darkness was overtaking the world, it literally would take our breath away because it is happening with such force and such intensity. I don't think the world really knows what's happening, but Baruch Hashem, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, and we're more than conquerors through all these things. I think it's going to become more and more difficult for true believers in Yeshua to stand firm. And as you know, the word says that many will fall away. And we're living truly in the last days. I know that we've been hearing that for years, but the time that we're living in right now could have never happened at any other time, where we can get from one part of the world to another part of the world in less than 2 days. You know, where Daniel spoke about in the last days, people will be traveling to and fro, and knowledge will have greatly increased. As we're living now in the days of information, where you can Google anything and bam, there's the answer. So we are, as you're saying, back to your point, Pastor, we are living truly in a world that's surrounded by darkness. The darkness is growing thicker and getting deeper, but God's people will continue to shine forth and do great things.
Yes. Well, you know, Rabbi Schneider, I pastor a Chinese congregation, mainly Chinese. I don't speak Chinese. I preach in English, and we have some wonderful translators. But even with all the persecution in China, and it is really draconian, all of the, you know, the surveillance, high-tech gadgets and so forth, it's just amazing to me how the light is breaking through in different places. And it just gives me hope to pray. And especially, as I've been reading your book, The Mystery of Dreams, I'm so excited that God is still speaking in a powerful way. And that's really a blessing to me.
You know, the scripture says that darkness and light is all the same to God. We know that God is light, but there's nothing that can stand in his way.
Amen. Well, Rabbi Schneider, before we jump into the material, tell us about the format of your book. You have a section of text and then a section on journaling. Tell us how all of this fits together and what's the purpose of it. In fact, the subtitle is A Teaching and Journaling Experience.
Well, this book, The Mystery of Dreams, it's not like I try to think about, okay, what can I write about and just try to create some type of a theme to put a book out. This particular theme of hearing from the Lord in my sleep and being directed from the Lord through my dreams has been part of my journey now for over 40 years. I mean, I've made life-changing decisions based on dreams that I've had at the night that I obviously felt very strongly and firmly were from the Lord. In fact, I moved to Columbus, Ohio, where I live right now, over 20 years ago, based on a dream I had one night. I knew nothing about Columbus, had no close friends in Columbus, had no job lined up in Columbus, but the Lord spoke to me in a dream and showed me a halo over Columbus, Ohio, and as a result of that experience, that one dream, my wife and I moved here. So when I have this format of the book, which consists of teaching about dreams, first of all, laying a biblical foundation for dreams and how rooted in Scripture we see God speaking to his people through dreams, and then following that up with examples in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, and then furthermore going down the trail as to why dreams are for us today as God's children, and then going into the second part of the book, which is the journaling section, that gives people an opportunity that perhaps have never made looking to the Lord in their sleep for dreams and then journaling them a priority. We've given them a platform, we've given them an opportunity to take this seriously now and to begin to wake up in the morning and ask themselves, did they dream anything last night? And as they begin to recall what they dreamed, and I'm not in any way suggesting that every night we're going to hear from the Lord, but when people do feel they've had a dream from the Lord, whether it's, you know, every 6 months, every 3 months, whatever that is, to write it down in the journal, that gives them an opportunity to go back, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, whatever, and review it. And people will really, I think, be helped in their walk with God when they can go back and see what God said to them because they journaled it. And a lot of times when people go back and look at the journal, the impact of the dream will have more impact when they review it, something that they wrote 2 years ago. That dream will have more impact then reviewing than it perhaps did when they first had it 2 years ago, because suddenly it'll take on a meaning they never saw originally.
Well, I know one of the questions that often come up when we talk about dreams, how can we tell if a dream is related to eating, say, too much greasy food, or if it's really a message from God?
Well, I first of all want to say that, I mean, we're all subject. We see through a glass dimly, so in terms of 100% foolproof method, you know, I don't have any 100% foolproof methods, Pastor, to offer, but here is what I would say, that as people make it a priority to look to the Lord in the morning, to inquire as to whether they dreamed anything last night that they think might have been from the Lord, as they begin to do that and begin to journal and write, God will train them. They'll learn over time it's an art to be able to discern what dreams were really from the Lord and which are not. I have found in my own life one of the keys is if it's something that's really unusual. In other words, when the Lord speaks to me in a dream, oftentimes the symbolism, the words, it's so unusual. It's so removed from the ordinary. It's like in a different realm than the types of dreams that I would have when my psyche is just processing things that might have happened to me throughout my life. But again, it's something that's more of an art than a science, and I think that when people apply themselves to hear and will discipline themselves to begin to journal, over time God will teach and train. They'll better be able to discern what dreams are from the Lord and which dreams aren't.
And I think that's really the significant part of having the journal, so that they will be writing this down and reading the scriptures that you have. And of course, in the book of Acts, it says your old men will dream dreams. It's a prophecy from Joel where he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days. And we are in the last days. And Joel's prophecy says, and it shall come to pass in the last days. So it would appear, unless we take the book of Acts out of the canon, it would appear that God is still speaking. And if perhaps we disbelieve that, we're really disbelieving the Bible.
It's like so obvious that, you know, God is I am. You know, he's the God who was and who is and who is to come. And as you know as well as I do, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So to think that the Lord would not speak to us in our dreams is like a huge problem. I mean, it's a big disconnect. I mean, he's a living God. And if you believe that he'll guide you when you're awake, why would you not believe that he can guide you when you're sleeping? You know, David in the Psalms praised the Lord for instructing his mind in the night. It's huge. I mean, it can't be overstated. This is a big deal. We spend a third of our life sleeping, and we need to be harvesting what the Lord may be saying to us why we're sleeping at night in that dream state.
Well, I know many Christians, I get to speak to a lot of people, they would acknowledge that there is an evident difference between the experience of first century Christians and the experience of Christians today in the 21st century. And the difference being that in the first century, there were many more supernatural manifestations than Christians today are experiencing, just on an average. And I think that would explain the development of the doctrine of cessationism and the various views that all of the gifts are not in operation today. So I think, for example, that cessationism is not really a doctrine that you would discover in the Bible, but it is a teaching that has grown out of the experience of modern Christians. They no longer have the kinds of revelatory experience of the New Testament, so they try to give an explanation. And thusly, we have a doctrine, cessationism, coming from experience, not from the scriptures.
That's really well said. And I think one of the visible manifestations of that is I just actually got back from Uganda less than 2 weeks ago. And as many of our listeners realize, Uganda has far few opportunities for medical care. They have, you know, generally no health insurance. Most of where I'm going in Uganda generally have no health insurance. They don't have jobs as we would know it. I mean, they don't have a place they go to at 9 in the morning or 8 in the morning. I mean, it's like they're completely dependent on help. And so when we go and preach in Uganda, they experience miracles at a level that are not experienced here. And one of the reasons for that, Pastor, is exactly what you just pinpointed. They're open. They're believing. They're desperate. They're hungry. They don't have another alternative. They don't have a doctor they can go to. And so when I stand up and declare that God is alive and that he's the healer, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, they believe that. They're desperate, they believe it, and people get healed. Now, I don't lift up healing in an inappropriate way. I'm there to preach the good news of the message, but the scripture says, these signs shall follow those that believe, and healing's one of them. So in reference to what you're saying is, I see far more people get healed physically in Africa than I do in the United States. And a lot of it is because of the fact that they're completely open and they're believing in a way that people in the U.S. that are under the cessation doctrine, you know, that these things no longer happen today, it's not that way in Africa and other third world countries. They're believing, they have no other hope.
Well, Lee Strobel, who is a tremendous apologist, one of his greatest books, I think, is The Case for Miracles. And he says exactly what you're saying, and he speaks about Heidi Baker and her work in Mozambique and some of the things, for example, the healing of deafness, which have actually been verified by, I think it's the Southern Medical Journal, and the fact that people are desperate. They have, you know, no medical care the way we have in America, and God touches down in a mighty way. It's so beautiful to say, hey, this is New Testament Christianity.
You know, it's really interesting. I'm not sure how well I'll be able to explain this. It's kind of difficult. I've never really tried to explain it before. But I'm really committed in my ministry, Pastor Larry, to integrity. And I see that there are situations and examples where people, they're like exaggerating miracles. We're kind of going to another extreme for a second to make a point. But, you know, somebody will come forward and they'll claim they were healed of something, but there's really no way to verify that they were healed of it. You know, I mean, someone says they had cancer and you pray for them or declare healing at a crusade, and now 10 minutes later they're up on the platform declaring they got healed of cancer. But, you know, you really don't know whether they're healed of cancer. You need medical tests to really determine that. And I've seen a lot of that kind of stuff happen, and it frankly turns me off. I don't think it does the cause of Messiah any good. And so I'm always like the opposite extreme. I'm always digging down into these testimonies of miracles that have happened as far as I can in front of the entire crowd to verify whether this is real and whether this should be celebrated or whether, you know, we just don't know. I remember one time, you know, doing that, and I was in Nigeria, and the guy that I was, you know, it was kind of my contact person in Nigeria, the guy that lives there and is on the ground, he's like rebuking me, saying, you know, why are you doing that? These people believe in miracles. You know, don't take away their faith. And it's kind of like one extreme to the other. But they're so believing over there that it's like you don't need to prove to them whether it's real or not. You know, they already believe, as opposed to, you know, this mindset in the States where they don't believe anything.
Right. Well, I know in the Strobel book, he's got many, many healings that have been medically verified. One case where a man was dead. They were preparing the body for burial, and the cardiologist, he had a heart attack. The cardiologist just had an impression. He was a Christian and is a Christian, the cardiologist, and the impression said, pray for this man, and he did, and nothing happened. And the impression was there, pray for this man, and he did. And suddenly the man started to move, and the nurse screamed because she said, well, this man has been dead 45 minutes. His brain is dead. He'll be a vegetable. But he got up. He remembered his name. And all of this took place in Florida. So like you say, we've got to be very careful of raising the flag when it's not true. But these are some wonderful, wonderful examples. Well, Rabbi Kurt Schneider has been our guest. We've been visiting with him and talking about his book, The Mystery of Dreams. Thank you, Rabbi Schneider, for being with us. We look forward to having you for our next show.
God bless you, my friend. Thanks for having me, Larry.
Rabbi Schneider is also the author of a devotional book. It is quite excellent and somewhat different from most daily devotional books. It's titled Rivers of Revelation, Daily Moments to Sustain Your Faith. Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get The Mystery of Dreams and also Rivers of Revelation.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Jesus said to Peter, "This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." We can all use a little revelation in these days of lockdown. Our special offer today is the new book titled Rivers of Revelation. You can have a copy for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order this book on our website at swrc.com. We also have the popular book titled The Lies We Believe. You may lie to other people and people lie to you, but the worst lies are the ones you tell yourself. You can have a copy for a gift of $20. A great companion to this book is The Lies We Believe workbook, also for a gift of $20. Our very special offer today is to get all three books, Rivers of Revelation, The Lies We Believe, and The Lies We Believe workbook, for a gift of $40. This is a $60 value for a gift of $40. The number again is 1-800-652-1144. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
With the new, radically outlandish sex ed curriculum requirements in California, more and more California parents are taking their children out of public schools and putting them in private Christian schools. But now the state of California is targeting that last remaining stronghold for faith and freedom. The Riverview Christian Academy in rural Northern California was hit with a SWAT-style raid prompted by an internet rumor put forward by an online left-wing tabloid, alleging that the school housed illegal drugs, stockpiled weapons, and was preparing for an end-times apocalypse, allegations that were proven to be false. The state was duped into ordering a raid that included 16 armed law enforcement personnel from the California Highway Patrol, 2 canine units, and 17 social workers.
The Pacific Justice Institute is fighting back in a lawsuit brought by the Riverview Christian Academy. The unannounced armed assault on the school terrified students and staff, said the Pacific Justice Institute. Furthermore, there was no evidence to substantiate the allegations. Instead of apologizing for its dangerous blunder, the state doubled down and began imposing daily fines against the school for allegedly operating as an unlicensed Community Care Facility, said the PJI. The Riverview Christian Academy has operated as a private school for the past 25 years. Filing an annual affidavit with the California Department of Education, as do other private schools and homeschoolers in the state, the legal firm explained. However, the state is now taking the position that, due to recent legislation, it is no longer possible for a private boarding school to operate without extensive licensing and oversight by the Department of Social Services. But licensing requires the Christian school to relinquish its moral standards and allow students the right to engage in spiritual and sexual exploration, which contradicts the goals of the parents who enrolled their kids in the academy. Parents who are paying extra funds for private education are now being told that it is illegal to avoid subjecting their children to disgusting and immoral practices that they believe are wrong. In other words, Pastor Larry, the government wants your children. They know in order to fit into the New World Order that's coming, they must be indoctrinated at an early age. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's like the government believes this as well, and that's what they are trying to do.
Kevin Snyder, Marvin, who is the lead attorney in the case, said this, "This armed incursion of a faith-based school shows that the state wants nothing less than to take jurisdictional control over Christian education in California. This is rooted in its disagreement with millennia-old religious values," according to attorney Snyder. Snyder went on and said, "In 25 years of practice, I have never seen this level of aggressive, militant, and ideologically driven conduct by a state agency against a religious institution. For years, as the public schools have become increasingly hostile toward parents, the courts have insisted that the parents' option is to instead choose private education. Now, that fundamental right is also under attack," close quotes. The state of California has now engaged in a systematic extermination of Christianity and Christian values. As such, it has aligned itself with the Chinese Communist Party. Like California, President Xi of the People's Republic of China is engaged in a massive program of removing every last vestige of Christianity from China. Party officials are now reading every sermon that will be preached in the state-supported, state-sponsored Three Self Church, and the government is not rubber-stamping sermons any longer. Many are being rejected by the Communist Party. Moreover, it is now illegal to send little children to church because the party doesn't want China's little children brainwashed by Christianity. This is what California is saying. While the progressives claim tolerance, tolerance is to be shown to everyone except Christians, and that's the way it is in China. Well, you know, Marvin, a big question in the industrial sector is this. Are robots a danger to humans who work with them in the workplace? As companies around the world are seeking to increase production, the demand for large-scale industrial robots of great strength that can move heavy equipment is accelerating. But robots' interactivity with human co-workers could, where humans and robots will be working side by side, introduce the possibility of injury to humans in the immediate area. Consequently, robots are kept behind barricades in cages and bolted to the floor to improve the safety factor of workspace that involves both humans and robots.
In the United States, there are, on the average, 84 robots for every 10,000 workers. Because large-scale industrial robots are breaking out of their cages, Clara Vu, co-founder and vice president of engineering at VO Robotics, is developing special sensors that will allow robots and humans to work side by side. Vu wrote the programming language for Roomba, an autonomous robotic vacuum cleaner that made its debut in 2002.
Vu says the cages are not to keep the robots in, but to keep the humans out. The robot is not always aware of the human, and it can weigh thousands of pounds and sometimes move very fast. VO Robotics plans to take care of that problem. The Massachusetts-based company rolled out its new product called VO Free Move, which gives robots spatial awareness of every object and obstacle within their reach. Its monitoring system signals a robot to slow or stop if an unrecognized human-sized object is closer to the robot than an acceptable protective separation distance, or PSD. When the obstruction passes, the robot will continue as programmed, allowing work to proceed without interruption. The price tag for the VO Free Move is $30,000.
Having robots breaking free and running amok is frightening, Pastor Larry. But I'll tell you something that's even more frightening. There has been a tremendous growth of robotics, and it's been driven primarily by the automotive industry. But now robots are moving beyond heavy industrial manufacturing and into other industries such as electronics and food services, law enforcement, and healthcare. These robots are taking away jobs. In fact, this article states that according to McKinsey and Company, almost half the activities that people in the world are paid $16 trillion to do in the global economy have the potential to be automated. In the United States, these activities make up 51% of activities in the economy, accounting for $2.7 trillion in wages. If these robots put half the workforce out of work, what will people do all day? How will they make money to buy the things the robots are producing? Or will the legalization of marijuana and magic mushrooms simply put Americans into a drug-induced coma so they don't care?
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Jesus said to Peter, "This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." We can all use a little revelation in these days of lockdown. Our special offer today is the new book titled Rivers of Revelation. You can have a copy for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $40 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our toll-free number 1-800-652-1144. You can also order by writing to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And of course, you can order this book on our website at swrc.com. We also have the popular book titled The Lies We Believe. You may lie to other people, and people lie to you, but the worst lies are the ones you tell yourself. You can have a copy for a gift of $20. A great companion to this book is The Lies We Believe workbook, also for a gift of $20. Our very special offer today is to get all three books, Rivers of Revelation, The Lies We Believe, and The Lies We Believe workbook, for a gift of $40. The number again is 1-800-652-1144. And the website is swrc.com. Thanks for joining us today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Rabbi Kurt Schneider finish this series on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Ministries.